going, okay, that one's with them, and I was checking out the parents. You know, I can tell a lot about the parents by watching their kids, and I'll leave it right there. Anyhow, oh, Lord, that was fun. I wish I wouldn't have been so shy as a kid. I'd have had a hard time. I was a shy kid, and I'd have been in the back row, and nobody would have seen me. But some of y'all's kids was in the front row, and everybody saw them, and praise the Lord for that. They did awesome. It was good. I had to follow that. That is a tough job to have to follow something like that. But that was fun. Today is an emphasis, if I can. I want to turn to Proverbs 24:3. I told Shannon, our children's director, a long time ago, I said, let's do VBS. And at the end of VBS, on that last day, let me do a sermon about how to have God's hand on our family. Some secrets that we can use and some things that we can put down to have our hand on and have God's hand on our families. Because I don't know if you know or not today, but the family is under attack. Satan doesn't want your family to do well. And we need to be aware of that and be prepared for that. And so today I want to give you some things that will help with that this morning. Before we do that, though, I want to put this prayer. Carrie, do we have that prayer? I'd like for all of us to say this prayer out loud. This is a prayer or a grandparent's prayer. And I would like to read this, but I want you to read this out loud with me. In fact, I think it will help us. So when I start, please pick up and let me hear you. But let's say this and let's pray this to God. Oh, Heavenly Father, make me a better parent. Teach me to understand my children, to listen patiently to what they have to say, and to answer all their questions kindly. Keep me from interrupting them or contradicting them. Make me as courteous to them as I would have them be to me. Forbid that I should never laugh at their mistakes or resort to shame or ridicule when they displease me. May I never punish them for my own selfish satisfaction or to show my power. Let me not tempt my child to lie or steal, and guide me hour by hour that I may demonstrate by all I say and do that honesty produces happiness. Reduce, I pray, the meanness in me, and when I am out of sorts, help me, O Lord, to hold my tongue. May I ever be mindful that my children are children and I should not expect them to the judgment of adults. Let me not rob them of the opportunity, wait on themselves, and to make decisions. Bless me with the bigness to grant them at their reasonable request and the courage to deny them privileges I know will do them harm. Make me fair and just and kind. And fit me, O Lord, to be loved and respected and imitated by my children. In Jesus' name, amen. I just think that's a neat little prayer that I need to pray to myself to remind myself that I am a parent. Now, I will give you this. I have been a parent for at least, 20 years now, right? Paige is 20 or, okay. I didn't do the math before I got up here, but I thought she's about 20. I know how old she is. March 19th. She's almost 21. And I have a 17-year-old, almost 18, and 11-year-old. And I, honest with you, I don't know her birthday, but I'll ask her when we get out of here. Where's she at? Is it August 25th, Mom? Okay, I got it. All right. When you're memorizing the Word of God all the time, numbers and birthdays are hard to remember. Trey, I know yours too. I just can't think of it right now. February something. Okay, right month. Praise the Lord. All right. And mine's tomorrow. Praise the Lord. All right, my birthday. I want to share something with you, too. You know, Lisa came home. She's been teaching kindergarten, I don't know how many years, years and years. A few years ago, she came home. She goes, Billy, you got to see this. This is the neatest thing. And I just kind of looked at it and went, that's not that cool. And then the other day, I was going through some notes and research, and I found this thing. And I went to Lisa, and I said, you got to see this. This is so cool. And she goes, that's what I showed you like 10 years ago. I go, well, that's cool now. All right. Listen to this. If a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, he learns to fight. If a child lives with ridicule, he learns to be shy. If a child lives with shame, he learns to feel guilty. If a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. And if a child lives with encouragement, he learns confidence. If a child lives with praise, he learns to appreciate. And if a child lives with fairness, he learns justice. If a child lives with security, he learns to have faith. And if a child lives with approval, he learns to like himself. And if a child loves with acceptance, lives with acceptance and friendship, he learns to find love in the world. I would encourage you to find that. That's based out of Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 in the Nelson Study Bible is where we'll find that text for that. But I'll tell you what, when I look at my family and myself, that helped me figure out where I'm at. And I pray that it would do that with you as well. Open your Bibles to Proverbs 24. And it's in the middle of your Bible, and go right a little bit if you haven't found that yet. I want to read a verse to you this morning that I believe we're going to use as our text that should bless you as we read. Proverbs 24, verse 3 says, "By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established." So we have two words in here I want you to look at today. By wisdom a house is built, wisdom being the word in the first sentence, and by understanding it is established. As we preach through this sermon today, and I give you the secrets I believe that God has given us of His hand on us, I want you to rethink of the wisdom and understanding that you're giving your children and your family. It's a blessing that we have families in this church, and I praise the Lord for you. Let's pray and let's dive into this. Father, I pray that today you would help all of us to look at ourselves as parents and have an understanding and a wisdom, Lord, of how to raise our and establish our family under God's holy word. May our eyes be open today. May we see what you see. May we know what we need to do to make our families great in your eyes. In Jesus' name, amen. Number one, as we take off today, I want to share with you that I believe to have the secret to having God's hand on your house is this. We must be strong leaders. There must be a strong leader in the house. I'll have you turn to Joshua 24, verse 15. And I'm going to read what Joshua told his house in Joshua 24, 15. It says, And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods that your fathers served in the region beyond the river, which was not the same God that Joshua served, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, which is not the God we serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. A secret number one to having God's hand on your family is to establish a strong leader in the house. A strong leader. Now let me give you my definition, if I can, of a strong leader. A strong leader will do this. A strong leader wills influence. Mom, dad, men especially, if it's a two, you know, today we have to say this. If it's mom and dad, are you the strong leader in the house? Are you the influencing will of the house? In other words, with what you say, does that carry influence over to your children? With what you say, does that carry the influence? Are you able to, hear me when I say this, change minds in your family? If you're a strong leader, you're able to change their mind. Maybe they're going one way and you say it's not the right way, and you're willing and able to, through your strong leadership, change their mind to the way of the Word of God. That's a strong leader, and that's a secret to having God's hand on your house. And also, today's world, change in attitudes. Change in attitudes. A lot of our kids, we talked about birthdays, and we'll stay with that for a second. A lot of our kids, Tyler turned 17, praise the Lord, our guitar player. And that's neat. When I was 17, it was a different world. And today, it's different, parents, and we have to be strong leaders and show our kids what it means to be a leader. It's a different world. And I'm not saying it's better or worse. I'm saying it's different. But with strong leaders over us, we know what to do. And it's tough today to be a 17-year-old, 18-year-old. But with strong leaders as moms and dads helping us change our minds and change our attitudes, blessed be the Lord. Also, this is going to be my longest point, strong leaders, so don't worry. You're looking down going, man, we have eight more to go, but it's going to go. Listen to me. A strong leader has a capacity to make things happen that would otherwise not happen. A strong leader has the capacity to make things happen when otherwise would not happen. Parents, listen to me today. These children that were up here singing, they need you to be the pillar of the house and to be something they can come and lean on. We have a 20-year-old that recently called me, my oldest daughter that many of you know, and she called me the other day and said, "Daddy, I need your help." And I said, "Paige, I'm always your pillar," meaning if you need a way out of something, let me be it. Let me be it. And she used me and said, "Dad, I'm going to use you as my pillar so I can get out of something that I don't want to be involved in." And I said, praise the Lord, because of that pillar that's there, you can use that. Parents, give your kids a way out of something when it's not something they should be in. You stand up for them and get them out of it. I want to quickly hit a couple bullet points about this. A parent, sometimes you have to stand alone. Parents, if you're going to be a strong leader, sometimes you have to stand alone. And here's a couple things. And I help, you know, every Saturday night I set Lisa down and I preach my sermon to her. And after I woke her up, after I preached it to her, she said, oh, yeah, what was that? Oh, yeah. They didn't get it, Lisa. A couple of them did. All right. One thing that you're going to have to stand up for and be a strong leader is in your children's relationships. I don't know how else to say it today except like this. If your child brings home a non-believer, if your child brings home someone that doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, if your child brings home someone that is LDS, I'm just going to say it, you guys have to stand up. I had to do that. My daughter was at this school, and the king of the school was a great kid, nice kid, good-looking kid, best athlete on the team, but he was LDS. And she brought him home, and I couldn't believe it. I thought, me, the one that's taught my kids the Bible over and over, she brought him home, but he was a nice guy, Dad. And me and my wife had to go in our room and pray together, and I had to come out and say, Paige, I have got to be the strong leader here. Go get him and bring him over here. She brought him in. I set him down in my game room where there's 56 dead animals. And there's a little special spot right there that said Paige's boyfriend. Amen or oh me, right? And I said, son, here's the deal. You say that, you know, you believe in Jesus Christ. But I said, is he your personal Lord and Savior? You know that if you died today, you'd spend eternity with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And his answer was, man, I've worked hard to get to that point. I said, that's the wrong answer. I said, do you know in your heart? It's not about works. It's about having a faith and belief in Jesus Christ. He said, no, but you know what? We're just like you. We're Christians. I said, no, you're not, son. And I said, if you ever come across that threshold of my door again, courting my daughter, you probably won't leave the same way you came in. Trey and everybody and my wife looked at me like, oh, my gosh. Paige looked at me and said, Daddy, I hate you. Daddy, you're ruining my life. Daddy, what do you want me to do? Date the boys that drink and lay around all the girls? Is that what you want, Daddy? And Daddy had to be the strong leader and say, no, that's not what I want, but I don't want that either. He left the house. I put the strings on Paige and said, Paige, I've given you all the freedom of your life. I've let you do whatever you want to do. But I said, you've got to stay with me on this. This will not happen. This will not happen. Me and Paige fought for 2 or 3 months, and if you guys know me, you know me and Paige are probably closer than you know most fathers and daughters. I love her to death. And you know what? A year after all this happened, she went off to college. And I got the letter still in my top drawer. It said, Daddy, thank you. Daddy, thank you. Daddy, thank you. Daddy, thank you. Daddy, thank you for being a leader. Thank you, Daddy. Calls me all the time now. This is 3 years ago, and she still calls me and says, Daddy, thank you. Thank you. She could have made a mistake that would have ruined her life. But a strong leader will stand up and say, I, even though you hate me right now, I love you. Come on. Is there any strong leaders out there today? Come on, guys. We have got to do this. We've got to learn this. Quickly, let's hurry. Not only with our children's relationships, but listen to this, our husbands and wives' relationships. Some of us in here today need to stand up and take leadership and proclaim that we are not going to hang out with that kind of lifestyle anymore. Many of us are here today and we want to be strong leaders for our family. They have a little commercial I saw on TV the other day. I couldn't believe it. I rarely watch TV, but when I do, I pay attention. And it had 2 little kids, a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old in my estimation, looking out the curtains waiting for the cars to roll up. And they're looking out and all of a sudden the car rolls up and they go, Mom and Daddy are home. And they run in and they're sitting there and Mom and Daddy walk in and the comment was this. The mom said to the dad, was that meth or cocaine that we did tonight? Anybody seen that commercial? I don't know what TV channel it was on, but I saw it. And I'm thinking, parents, we have got to be the strong leaders. And if our kids are looking out and really know what we're doing, we've got to change who we're hanging with and what we do. This is about having wisdom and knowledge, and it's about God's Word. And also quickly, we must not only have our children's relationships, our husband and wife's relationships, but also our children's activities. Now, I'm just going to say this as plain and simple as I can, because you know what? I want God's hand on my life, and I want Him on your life. When we were raising Trey up, sometimes it takes a strong leader. Trey was going to be I told him he was going to be MLB, Major League Baseball. Trey, you can throw hard, you're great. let's put you on a traveling team. And he's like, Dad, I don't want to do it. And I said, no, you're going to do it. You know, I need to retire someday, so you're going to do it. And so we pushed him. We made him play on Sundays, and he used to cry, Dad, I don't want to play on Sunday. Here, the strong leader, me, saying, no, go ahead, and we'll get you a ride. We're still going to go to church and praise the Lord, but you go get good. You know what, people? We got to look at some of the activities our kids are doing, and we have to say, you know what? Some things just aren't worth letting God go on. Sometimes we have to stand up as a strong leader, and my conviction is this. I'm going to be on church on Sunday. No excuses. That's where I'm going to stand. When a person begins to lead with their children, listen to me, God's blessings move. Your children need a leader with vision and action. If I have all the vision in the world, but I never have action to it, I have chaos. If I have no vision, but all I do is act, I have turmoil. But when I have vision and action toiled together, my kids will see a leader and they'll know where we're going. Another quick point before I move. Our kids need a leader, not a negotiator. Hear me. Hear me. I see this every day. What are some things that your kids have to do? They have to go to school. They need to, I put on there, they have to go to church. That's, I'm a pastor, so I have to say that, right? No, I believe that. But when your kids are doing what they have to do, and then they change your mind because they don't want to do it, then they grow up, and then they come to the church, and then they come after the pastor and the leadership of the church because they don't want to be under the authority of them either because they were never under the authority of their mom and dad. It hurts everybody. If your kids come to you and say, I don't want to go do this today. I don't want to go to practice today. I don't feel like going. If they said they're going to do it, they're going to do it in my house. Strong leadership, people. We have got to be the leader, not the negotiator for our kids. The husband, listen to me, sets the standards that cannot be compromised. Don't compromise. Let's move on. Strong leader, also spiritual order. This is great. Isaiah 38:1. I wanted to put this in there for you. Isaiah 38:1 says, in those days Hezekiah became ill and he was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, went to him and said, this is what the Lord says. And he tells him this. Listen, put your house in order, Hezekiah, because you are going to die and you will not recover. Listen to this. Spiritual order, right priorities. What if you were going to die today? And I hate to think morbid like that, but if we're going to get God's hand on us, we have got to have our house in spiritual order. We have to change our home and get our homes in the right order of what God's spiritual order is. Do you pray with your family? Do you show them the Bible? Do you teach them things through things that are happening every day? You know, when something happens and maybe it's finances and you go, you know, what are we going to do? And then you go, well, God provide. And then when he does provide, you teach that. It's a spiritual order. Dads, you're the head of the spiritual order. I'm picking on you today a little bit. But we have got to show up in our homes and get the things out of our homes that are wrong. Get the things out of our homes that are wrong. Number three, we got to stand on absolutes. Lisa, as we did this last night, between her waking up every once in a while, she said, you know, you could do a sermon on every point. I said, I really could, but we're not going to. We're going to get through this as far as, I want to get this in your head so you'll go home and think. Stand on absolute. Matthew 7:24 says this, therefore, everyone who hears the words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Everybody look up here. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to let you in on a secret that nobody knows. If you're a parent, the storms are coming. Am I right? If you're a parent, the storms are coming. And I want you to be able to build your child on the rock, not on some shifting sand. Amen? The storms are coming, people. We have to be able to stand on absolutes. And here's some things I wrote down. On our doctrine, we have a doctrine. And we have some absolutes on what we believe. We have some absolutes on who we're yoked with, we've already talked about earlier. We even have some absolutes in our house on curfews, on date. Whenever our kids date, we tell them it's a potential mate. You better realize that. But what about morality? Do you have some absolutes set up in your house about morality? Let me tell you something that you already know, that's no secret. The government's not going to teach your kids morality. I looked it up yesterday, and Lisa and me decided not to put this in my sermon, but we looked up the czar of public schools. He has a $700 million budget, and he's gay. And that's what he's promoting. People, if they don't get it at home and at church, they're not going to get it from the czar. He's not going to teach you what's right and wrong morality-wise. And we have to stand on absolutes. Does your child know that it's not okay to date the same sex? You know, my generation laughs at that. We laugh and go, who would ever even think of that? But listen, my generation, we're old. And they think like that now. They think it's okay. The government's not going to teach them. The schools aren't going to teach them. The only way that you're going to get the truth about Jesus Christ is at church and at homes of godly people. Amen? That's why, here's where I get all excited. Uh-oh, here we go. That's why at this church, I'm excited to reach out and reach this community for Jesus Christ, to grow, to fill these seats, to raise enough money. Uh-oh, there he goes talking about money. But I want to build a school right next door on 12 acres that teaches the principles and absolutes of God and give them a chance. All these kids up here I want in our school so that they have a chance to know God and not all this garbage that's out there. We must have time to teach these absolutes as well. That's why I want to start home groups in your home, giving you curriculum and things that are godly things that you can teach your family and your children about God. That's why I want to start up home groups and build a church next door and use facilities wherever we can to reach people about the Bible, right biblical thinking. I'm going to give you this. Do your children know the absolutes? Quickly. This is really, I'm just going to tell you what it is. Number four, regrets at death. Regrets at death. I was thinking, you know, I do a lot of funerals. And by the way, I love doing funerals. So if you die, call me. I love doing funerals. If you're getting married, call Stacy. I hate weddings. But anyway, funerals, I got their attention. They have to listen to me. I get to share the gospel. I just love doing them. It's weird. But I always think about Ecclesiastes 7:2. Look what it says. Ecclesiastes 7:2 says, it is better to go to a house of mourning, which means death, than to go of a house of feasting, which in this context is a marriage. For death is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart. What I'm trying to say to you, the secret to having God's hand on your house is to really imagine that you're dead and then look back at your regrets. When I meet with families, I'll say to them, you know, I don't always know them. I volunteer at a cemetery where they'll just call me and I'll bury people I don't know. And so I'll meet with the family and I'll say, well, tell me about him. Well, he had a lot of regrets. I'm going, uh-oh, that's going to be a good one, you know. And they'll share out all the regrets. But I ask you as a church body, if you want God's hand on you, think right now, okay, if I died today, you know, did I tell Trey and did I tell Shay, did I tell Paige, did I tell Lisa I loved them? And if I didn't, I'd regret that. Did I do the right thing? Was I looking at the right stuff? Was I studying the right way? You know what I'm saying? If you want God's hand on your house, think about what they're going to say about you when you die. I know that's weird. You'll only hear it here, but that's what I think. All right? If we don't, our life will be a disaster. Quickly, number five, resolve divisions. Resolve divisions. I want you to write down Matthew 12, 25, and 26. Actually, just Matthew 12, 25. That'll be sufficient. Go home and read it. It says, Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and every city or household divided against itself will not stand. Mom, Dad, look up here. Are you on the same plane, and do your children see you on the same level, or are you divided over some things? Now, I could do a whole 20-week sermon on what you're divided over. Do one of you, you know, drink and one don't? I mean, there's so many things I could say. I don't even want to start a list. But are you divided on things? If you are, the only way to get absolutely on the same page is to get to the book that has the only absolutes, and that would be this, the Bible. We have got to not be divided, because when we're divided in our house, our kids see that, God sees that, and he promises us in the Word that a house divided will not stand. Don't know about you, but in the Christian homes today, I study this, 52% of Christians are getting divorced today because they're divided on things. And it's because they haven't gone to the Word of God and got their absolutes figured out. People, we have got to not be divided. We have got to resolve. And we have got to get our divisions gone amongst us. One I know of recently, the wife wanted to tithe and the husband didn't. And that caused problems and they no longer could come to church. It divides. Get on the same page with each other. Number 6, role and function. Secrets to having God's hand on your house. What are your roles and functions? 1 Timothy 5:14, if you'll write that down. 1 Timothy 5:14, this is a weird verse, but stay with me. It says, I counsel younger widows to marry, to have children, and to manage their homes, and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. I gave that to give you something. I want you to see that the Bible talks about role and function in everything. Father, you have a role. Mother, you have a role. Children, you have a role. Dad, mom, and child, know your role. Child, if mom and dad say take out the garbage, don't say wait till next week. Take out the garbage. And do it again next week. All right? Know your role. Husband, it's not to conquer your wife, but it's to lead her. Wife, it's not to stop your husband, but it's to encourage him and to push him. Wives were made to push us and challenge us. Husbands were made to lead and direct and guide, but they need the wife. And children were made to help their mom and dad, but also children's role was to obey and to learn God's word. So when dad says, don't bring home the guy that's not a believer, the children say, okay, dad, I won't. And they don't. Not, okay, dad, I won't. And then they go out the back door and go around another door and do it anyway. Because when they were little and you told them they didn't have to go to, they had to go to class and they had a fit and you let them not go to class, they got away with it. So why not just bring the guy through the other door? They'll get away with it. Ouch, right? Everybody bring their toes in. I know. Am I right or not? All right. Come back next week. Come on. All right. I almost went too far on that one. I'll stop. Let's go to the next one. Make your home a church. Make your home a church. Romans 16:5. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. People, make your home a church. And I wrote it this way. Every father is a pastor, and every mother is a pastor's wife. Everywhere I go, I have to remember because I've only been a pastor 5 years. It's not something I was born. And every once in a while, I'll be somewhere and go, oh, I got to remember, I'm a pastor. You know, starting to get a little crazy or something at a football game or whatever. You know, oh, I'm a pastor. I better not yell, you know, kill him! Sometimes I do, and then I go, oh, forgive me, I didn't mean, you know, in a God's way, you know. Make sure that when you're at home, Dad, you're the pastor. Mom, you're the pastor's wife. Lisa has to remember that too. She's so sweet, though. I don't know how she could ever go wrong. All right. Everybody says, if she picked you, what in the world? All right. I want to give you a quick comment, and Lisa's told me to leave this out, but I'm not going to. If I was shopping a church, let's say that I was like some of you and haven't joined, or I was shopping a church, and I say this total and humble, no pride at all. Please hear what I'm saying. But if I was shopping a church, what I would look for would be the pastor's family. I'd look at his kids. I just would. I've shared that with my wife, and I'm also going to share this. A lot of pastors that I'm mentoring and helping with now, their houses are wrecks. Not sure why. I have my ideas. But if I was shopping a church, I would look at their family and their children. I'm going to kind of leave it at that. Our kids are always going to mess up. Hear me. But I would look at their family. I just want you to just digest that however the Lord gives that to you. But that's what I wanted to say to you today. All right. Look at number 8. Spiritual truths. Acts 20:20. I love this. Acts 20:20. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but to have taught you publicly from house to house. Listen, number 8, spiritual truths. Spiritual truths. Teach your children spiritual truths. Does your daughter know what to say when a boy says, hey, I just really love you? I'm being vague. You guys know what I'm talking about. Does your son know what to say when another guy comes up to him and says, dude, if you want to be cool, Do they know the spiritual truths? Or have you taught them? If you want God's hand on your house, your kids have got to know spiritual truth. They need to know that when to flee and when to say no and all that stuff that the media gives us. But it's because the Word of God, we got to know spiritual truths. Don't let them get into something and then they go, uh-oh. But if they do get into uh-oh, go get them out of it. Be a strong leader. Our kids today don't know that it's wrong to do something. I've sat in their living room. I've sat in the living room of people living together and go, do you not realize that it's not biblical not to live together? And they're going, I had no idea. I thought everybody did this. And I just scratch my head and go, really? Really? Do I always believe it? No, but that's what they tell me. Spiritual truths. And finally, secrets to having God's hand on your house, number 9, prepare our family to enter the Father's house. See, we're just kind of passing through this little earth right here. It says in the blinking of an eye, our lives are over. And in John 14:1, it says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, also trust in me. In my Father's house are many mansions and many rooms, and if it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go, I am going there to prepare a place for you, so that when I come again, there you may be also. Are you teaching your family and preparing them to enter the Father's house? What a shock it would be if you've never followed any of these things and never taught your kids the Bible. You know, sometimes I wonder what they're going to do when God shows up. In God's amazing home that He has for us one day, if, you know, are we going to know how to live in that home? It's so complex to understand. Yet it's so easy to see that we've got to prepare today to spend eternity with Jesus. Eternity. What is God looking at you right now in your family? What is God doing right now as He looks down at you, Mom and Dad? And I'm going to try to share this story real quick. This is in closing. If Michelle wants to come up and play, I want you to hear this. This touched my heart this week. God showed me this vision this week in my own mind that just made me cry my head off. And I'm going to try to tell you what I saw. In the book of Acts, I'm just going to kind of paraphrase. Stephen kept preaching about God. People were slandering him. It even says in the Bible that they were gnashing their teeth at him. They said, oh, we just hate you. Ugh. And he smiled and just kept preaching. And then it says they picked up stones and they reared back. These guys were going to throw 100-mile-an-hour fastballs at him and kill him. And he just smiled. And at that instance, the Bible, this is the only time in the Bible this ever says this, God unveiled heaven. And Jesus was standing up next to God. And it's the only place in the Bible where it says it twice in the same verse. Jesus was standing. Every other reference to Jesus in heaven, He was sitting. But Stephen stood up for what he believed. And Jesus stood up and said, that's my boy. That's my boy. And I wonder today in your life and in your family, have you caused Jesus to stand? Say, that's my family. They got it. They got it. And as I read that, I remembered just a year ago, I said, God, show me that in my life. And it's kind of corny, but listen to me. Queen Creek was playing a game. They were down. It was 6-7. We were down. We had the ball, and we were on the 20-yard line. We had 80 yards to go, and there was 31 seconds left in the game. Anybody here have a kid that plays on a team? Me and Lisa sitting in the stands watching the game. Looks like we're going to lose. We got the ball, fourth down. Number 42 runs out there, my boy. He lines up on the very outside. I'm watching him. Not really watching the game, but I see the quarterback dropping back, and I'm watching 42. 42 streaking. I'm looking around in the stands, and everybody's just sitting there. I'm up. I'm looking ahead. Go, Trey, go. Go, 42. The quarterback runs. He almost gets hit, I'm told, and he throws it. I'm already up. 42 brings it down. He runs about 30 more yards, gets right to the goal. Next play, they score. As I thought about that, nobody else was up when I was up. But I was watching my son. And if you believe in Jesus this morning, you're his son and his daughter. Will you today make Jesus stand up and say, go, 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 you can do it. And you can. Bow your heads with me this morning. Father, I pray that today families would come and join with us and say, we're a part of this church. I know of one that said they will already, and I pray that they are. I just pray families will come, Lord. Help this to be a family church where we can all stand together and say, go, go. Father, I pray that today that someone's here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that they would come and receive you unto themselves. Be received to heaven. John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them became sons of God. Father, help us to be your sons and daughters today in this tough and trying world. Father, I pray that today, if somebody needed to come and just pray with their family, that would be today. That leaders would stand up and lead their families to the altar and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Father, for those people today that have children that are wavering and wandering, I pray your special blessing on us today, Lord. Pray that on them, that your will and your power would come to them, and that God's will and God's power would show them the right direction and change them in the blink of an eye to bring them back under the authority of God. Father, today, make it be this day. Father, we love you. Be with us. Help this church to have the strong leadership to lead, to change the wills of people, and influence them towards Christ. We pray all these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Will you stand?